This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeff Luhnow was asked at spring training today about the reports on the Astros being in the market for Bryce Harper at the trade deadline last year, something he has not confirmed publicly, but he did today.
It's been reported there was an agreement in principle in place, and it was it didn't get over the finish line for whatever reason, out of our control. But we had interest. We had worked out an agreement with players both ways, and those things have approval levels that they have to go through, and so it didn't happen, and we moved on.
Now, we didn't hear the question, so I always feel like it's better when you hear the whole question so you get the context of the answer and things like that. I know the guys on In the Loop, Landry and John, they were not that wild about Luhnow going publicly talking about this. You know, Landry said it may compromise their, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, are teams going to be less inclined to do deals with Luhnow because he's putting business like that out there. And Lopez's take was, I just don't like hearing about almost deals. You know, you can keep that to yourself. I only care about the deals that come in. Me? I was excited when I heard they were in on Harper myself. Yeah. I'm like, we have a GM who's really aggressive. It didn't happen. I don't blame him for it.
I don't have a problem with Luhnow addressing it. He was asked about it. It's not like he offered that up. And this was first something that came up, I want to say, last year around the trade deadline. The Athletic, I think, was the one who reported that they're not necessarily that a deal was in place.
The Harper news did not come out till after the season, that they had a deal in place at the trade deadline.
Right, but that was the Athletic, right?
I forget who reported it.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it at all. I don't think there's anything negative about him bringing up that they took a swing and didn't connect. I mean, I'm like you, Sean, I'm happy to hear that they are taking those swings. And when you think about it, it's one gigantic what if, right? Because Correa was banged up. Altuve was banged up. You throw Bryce Harper into the middle of that lineup.
Yeah.
Look, the best case scenario is the Astros are going for a three-peat in 2019.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, they won 103 games without him.
Look, I love hearing that type of the GM or talk about making those types of plays, or at least trying to. As a fan, I absolutely want to know that my guy's out there, you know, putting the best foot forward as far as what team he can, what lineup he can put on the field game in, game out, that's going to give us an opportunity. And I want you swinging for the big fish. I want the biggest names out there. So I'm okay with it. I do see the point, though, Sean, I didn't think about it when I first heard the guys earlier discussing it until you brought it up. But in today's world, man, it would be really, really scary to be known as a guy like, hey, we're not going to deal with him because you put it out there afterwards. And these players nowadays are so sensitive to being on the trade block or being in that conversation. That could cause a lot of problems in a clubhouse.
Especially NBA guys.
Right.
Kevin Durant would go find Jeff Luhnow and strangle him.
Yeah,
with his bare hands.
Well, that just could immediately blow up in a GM's face and cause some serious problems in the locker room, assuming it doesn't go through.
Maybe. I think his guys know that. I mean, they know who he is. I mean, he's the guy that brought in Justin Verlander. He's the guy that brought in Gerrit Cole. He's the guy this offseason that brought in Michael Brantley. I mean, they're going to make some bold moves under Jim Crane and Jeff Luhnow. I think the guys on that roster know what they're in for.
I wonder what the threshold is, you know, with Harper still out there, Machado's still out there, Keuchel's still out there. I wonder, you know, Jeff Luhnow's got to have on his whiteboard in there somewhere what the nexus is of the two lines crossing where Bryce Harper's wants meet the Astros' desire to still bring him in. The Astros aren't going to be in the market for a Bryce Harper contract like he may have been offered by some team, you know, 6 years, $150 million or something like that. But you're talking about a guy who turned down 10 years, $300 million from the Nationals. The reason these guys haven't signed yet isn't because they don't have offers. It's because they don't have offers that they think are in line with what they should be getting. And so the Astros aren't going to be in the long-term market for Bryce Harper. But you do wonder, and I heard the Mad Radio guys talking about this, and I thought it was an interesting conversation. You wonder if it reaches a point where Bryce Harper goes, you know what? Screw this. I'll take a one-year deal somewhere. I'll be a rent-a-player. And maybe I'm not getting $30 million a year like I thought I would, but maybe some team, like the Astros, is willing to bite off more on an annual basis for like a one-year deal, as long as they're not committed for 4 or 5 years, because they've got so many guys they've got to sign ultimately, with Verlander and Cole and Bregman and Correa and Springer and everybody else. If the Astros want it, if they feel this is a window right now, they feel we're in a window of the next year or two, if they're in that window, then why not do a one-year deal that just blows everybody out of the water on a, like almost like a deluxe franchise tag for Bryce Harper, like 1 year, $36 million bucks for Bryce Harper or something like that.
I'd be interested. I'd enjoy the hell out of it.
I just wonder to the extent, to what extent Bryce Harper would be open to something like that.
It's all about him.
Because I know originally it had been about he wants an 8-year deal, and now we're hearing nobody's really interested in offering him anything more than maybe 4 or 5 years. But 1 year, boy, that would be something if he and for a lot of money, I get it, but wow, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I've heard that more about Machado than Harper in terms of the 1 year placeholder.
Well, the only reason I bring up Harper, Machado's not a fit here because I'm just bringing up for the Astros.
Right. That's the first I've heard speculation about a 1 year deal for Harper.
Yeah. Well, and to be clear, the speculation was Mad Radio this morning and me talking about it. Now it's not Ken Rosenthal or somebody, you know, who's got half a baseball brain. You know, it's hung over me listening to Mad Radio and going, that sounds like a good idea. I got an idea. Let's give Bryce Harper a 1 year, $40 million deal. Ain't my money.
There's no salary cap in baseball. There is not, a luxury tax, but there's no salary cap.
There is not. We talked earlier this week about Justin Verlander or Garrett Cole. If you got to sign one after this year to a comparable deal, considering that they perform at the same level that they performed at this past season, who is it? Rich, you and I are in the minority on this compared to the Astro fans that responded to the poll that I put up. 70-some-odd% said they would give the deal to Cole. I think you and I both said Verlander. Alex Bregman was on what podcast was he on? I don't have the name of it in front of me. It was a comedy pod. I'll find the name of it. He was on a podcast. We'll find the name of it. He talked about Justin Verlander as a mentor.
I go to him whenever I have a baseball question about trying to become the best baseball player I can possibly be.
That's cool.
He's a guy you can go bounce stuff off. He'll tell you, he's not a yes guy. He'll tell you you're crazy, or he'll tell you you're right on.
Mm-hmm.
And you need guys that are not yes guys around you in your life. You have plenty of people that'll just say whatever you want to hear because, oh yeah, well, I'm going to say whatever you want to hear because I want to get on your good side, but you need the guys in your corner that say like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yes, do this. No, don't do that.
All right, so that's Bregman on Verlander as a clubhouse leader, a reason we brought up to give him the extension because he can be that sage, you know, guy sitting on top of the hill underneath the learning tree for everybody else. By the way, it was the Going Deep with Chad and JT podcast. Here's one more from Bregman talking about how Verlander coached him up on how much sleep he needs at night.
I was feeling a little tired, like early in the year, and Verlander actually came up to me and he's like, hey, bro, how much do you sleep at night? You look tired. And I was like, sleep like 7-8 hours. He's like, bro, you need to be sleeping 10 to 12 hours. I was like, really? He goes, yeah. So like the first 2 weeks of trying to sleep 10 hours was like sleep sounds seven hard, and then try and go force yourself back to bed and stuff like that. So for that first month, I was working on it, but probably June, July, I was getting 10 hours a night, waking up at like 11 a.m., eating breakfast, hanging out with my friends, family, whoever's in town. I always got a crew in town with me. It's the best. Hang out with them, eat some lunch, and then go to the field around like 1:30. And performance skyrocketed since I started to sleep. So I'm a believer now. And I think every time I need some advice on the staying healthy, staying on the field, I always ask Verlander. He seems to know, and he's like one of those Tom Brady, LeBron guys that are getting better as they get older.
Ah, okay.
Performance skyrocketed.
He's one of those LeBron Brady guys that gets better as he get older. As he gets older, that's another reason we said to sign Verlander and leader in the clubhouse that Bregman and the young guys go sit next to. Another reason that Sean and Rich were on top of the sign Verlander thing.
Solids. I mean, think about that value right there. I mean, just forget about how good of a pitcher Verlander is when he's standing on the rubber. Just forget about that.
Right.
Think about the value of that guy in your locker room telling your young players, caring enough and investing enough in the young players to go, hey, bro, 7 ain't enough.
Yeah, Bregman just said that Verlander's a big reason why he played at an MVP level in the second half of the season.
I mean, just think about that value of that guy. I mean, so many times we think about the negative value of the guy that does the exact opposite, and he's keeping guys out till 2 in the morning that got to get up at 8, and they're burning the candle at both ends and so many times we talk about that guy and how bad it is. How great is it for a franchise or for an organization to have a guy like Verlander doing that? That's huge, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you can't put a dollar amount on that.
Now, Sean Casey did disagree with us. Sean Casey said he'd take Gerrit Cole.
Rich, most of the people have disagreed with us.
Yeah.
But I feel strongly if it were between one or the other, it would be Justin Verlander for me. I think he's going to pitch till he's 42 years old.
That's the big part of the appeal for me also. He's 36 now. I could easily see him continuing at this level at least another 5 years. He's not had a major injury to any of his important parts of his body that would impact his ability to do that, shoulder, elbow. He's not had anything like that. He had a tricep strain a few years ago. That's been the only time he has failed to pitch at least 30 games in his career. He's a freaking Iron Man.
Well, there's two. If you watch him throw, it is a very effortless action. Last time I was here last week when Roger was here, when Roger called in, I wanted to ask him about that, but because Roger was that way, it was a very effortless action, and those guys tend to stay healthy, and those guys tend to be able to play longer versus some of these guys that are throwing 102 and 103 right now. They're coming off the mound. It's so violent that you're just like, damn, you're liable to blow a knee out on the next pitch. You know, Verlander looks like he could do it in his sleep, and he's still bringing it. He can still locate it, still winning games. Still going the distance.
Clemens used drop and drive.
Yeah.
That it's his base, his lower body, that is one of the secrets to his success.
Sure. I think the easiest way to look at that is when you watch it, just as the untrained eye, when you watch a guy throw a football or throw a baseball, either way it goes, when it's effortless, he can do it to mid-40s. When it's not, it could end at any minute.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.